I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, Wham Lou. I'm joined on this week's episode by Big V.
What's going on?
What's good? So we're going to talk Raptors on this episode, but I think we should take some time, especially now when it's super dead, to talk about the upcoming FIBA World Cup and how Team Canada will fare. Maybe we touch a little bit on Spain and also Team USA because there's some, I guess, tangentially related topics there. But let's, at least for the first half of the episode, let's talk a little bit about Canada basketball. First off, I think everyone is a little bit depressed about this team, mostly because there's been so many absences. I mean, you look at it, I think we've been trying for many years to talk ourselves into the idea that eventually one day there will be a Team Canada that has basically all NBA players. And usually what we get is Corey Joseph and Kelly Olynyk. And this time around, we might not even get Corey Joseph and Kelly Olynyk. Olynyk is definitely out with a knee injury. So let's just talk about the roster and how they got here first and foremost.
Yeah, and I mean, we were just talking about this, but the roster at this point is kind of going to select itself because of the injuries and because of all the guys that have opted out. You would have thought when the initial list of guys was put out, the 29 guys, that Nick Nurse was going to have some really difficult decisions to make. But then once it was trimmed to 19, and it was pretty much all the NBA guys that opted out, and then you learned that the 19 was actually 17 because RJ Barrett and Jamal Murray were just there for camp, and then 17 becomes 15 because Kelly Olynyk gets injured, and Chris Boucher opts out for personal reasons. So you're really just making three cuts.
Gotta focus on the G League season, man. Gotta focus.
So yeah, now you're down to just, you know, making those final three cuts, and we don't know what O'Shea Brissett's status is, and he's, you know, Nick Nurse didn't seem too optimistic about his chances of being able to recover from whatever happened in his room.
Apparently he was in his hotel, as Nick Nurse explained, apparently he was in his hotel room and his knee started swelling up, and they got the swelling down a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you hurt your knee in a Sydney hotel room?
I don't know if I want to know the answer, Will.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point. Let's just skip over the fact and take it as face value.
Exactly. So, yeah, at this point, you're pretty much just going with, you know, the survival of the fittest. The guys who have just, you know, been able to hang around this long. And, you know, I think it is a little bit frustrating when I try and watch those other friendlies that are going on, and you brought up Spain before, and you see Marc Gasol out there. You see Ricky Rubio out there. You put on a Greece friendly, and you see Giannis. You know, if there's anyone that's had a long run and deserves a break this summer, it's probably the guy that won MVP and went fairly deep into the postseason.
Before getting swept. It's important. It's important to know just, that yeah. Giannis was swept.
Context, details, that's what you come here for. So
yeah. No, you're right, man. You're right. I don't think this is the same culture around the team in Canada as there is in other countries. Like, you see, like, Lithuania is always one example that kept my eye on because I would always watch, like, whether it was the World Cup or Eurobasket, I would always watch for JV because he was on the team for so long. And, like, every single year, JV went. And I think a lot of times, maybe the team didn't necessarily want JV to go because it's like, yo, maybe take that summer. Maybe, like, you know, do whatever you need with training. But maybe you sort of just lessen the load. And basically, JV is like, look, man, I'm going to go represent my country. It's a big thing. And, like, I don't want to judge necessarily a level of patriotism or whatever, because, like, I think that all that stuff is just, like, we're talking about a basketball game. It's not that serious. As long as they're paying their taxes and abiding their laws, they're free to do whatever the hell they want. But, like, you know, realistically, it is just disappointing that same kind of dedication doesn't necessarily exist around Team Canada. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, why do you think that is, first and foremost? Like, do you think it's sort of a lack of tradition in the sense that Canada hasn't had any great moments to sort of establish that tradition, or do you think it's sort of something else? It's a player specific thing.
I honestly don't know what the right answer to that is. You know, in some ways I look at it and, you know, Team USA is almost like that kid, those kids in school that are super smart, that know that they can do whatever and still come out with straight A's. Right, so they can have guys opt out and the other guys will play, and they've still got a full roster of NBA guys, and they'll probably win the tournament. Canada can't do that.
Nope.
And so that's, I think, the thing that maybe they need to understand. Like, they can't, you know, they can't be feeling themselves to the point where they're looking at USA and it's like, oh, they can do that, we can do that too. It's like, no, you really can't. And so I think at some point, pride has to kick in terms of wanting to do something special for Canada. Obviously, you know, we've talked about how if you actually look at the way the FIBA weighting system works, the FIBA World Cup is weighted heavier than the Olympics. So it's actually the biggest tournament in basketball.
Right.
Now, USA doesn't view it that way. They just value the Olympics more. And so for these, you know, Canadian NBAers, they might view it the same as well, that where they'd rather be a part of the Olympics. But, hey, you got to put in the work to get there.
Right.
Now, I think what's going to be interesting is to see if Canada can get into that sort of next 16, because 7 automatically qualify from the FIBA World Cup for the Olympics. And then the next 16 best teams go into another tournament.
Right. This is not their last chance.
Exactly.
This is probably their best chance.
Yes.
Because they got to finish top two as an America's team, which is both North and South America.
Right.
Which is very confusing, first off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, that's the criteria. But as you mentioned, like, there is another chance.
Yeah. So there is. So then if they can make it into that bracket, then they'll go into the tournament that gets played in June right before the Olympics. So I think that's going to be interesting to see. You know, I'd be surprised if someone like Jamal Murray played that, just because you expect Denver to have a deep playoff run, and then it's probably just going to be too soon.
Right.
But say someone like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who will be with OKC and probably won't make the playoffs. Maybe a Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Those type of guys, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the decision is that they make then. Because the big thing right now is essentially you're asking them to commit 2 summers, right? Play this World Cup, then go have the NBA season, then come back for the Olympics again. Whereas, you know, next season, you can kind of put it as you're just committing the 1 summer. So
right.
Why not?
Right.
You're just going hard. And so I think in terms of judgment, I will reserve my judgment based on who shows up for that tournament. If these guys can get them to that tournament, and then that's maybe where you can sort of evaluate better, you know, how much this really means to them.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things when we look at the team, and we'll look at the team in depth in terms of, like, strength and weaknesses and stuff, but I think we look at the program as well. It's just like, you know, I think it might take one central figure to sort of change the rhetoric around the team, right? And I think, you know, if you're an American player and you're playing basketball at a high level, you can think of yourself as like, man, remember when, you know, Kobe took over for that 2008 team, or Dwayne Wade took over for that 2008 team, or like LeBron, or whoever in that Redeem team, and, you know, maybe even going back even further, you know, what Michael Jordan, you know, Charles Barkley and all those guys did, Larry
the
Bird.
Legacy of the Dream Team.
Yeah, there is a fixed example of where people can aspire to and sort of what can be achieved from it, and I think that's where a lot of players are. You know, that's the moment that's inspiring them to go play, right? And it's the same in other countries, too. Like, I'm sure if you're a Spanish player on the come up, you're probably like, damn, I remember that Marc Gasol, Pau Gasol team, Rudy Fernandez, Juan Hollis, you know, Carlos Navarro, you know, Ricky Rubio as an 18-year-old, you know, showing out in 2008 in Beijing as well. So, like, there are examples. Even Brazil with, like, Oscar Schmidt or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he has, I think, the single record for most points scored.
Most points, yeah.
In the Olympics, I think maybe Melo eventually broke that. I'm not sure, but regardless, like
we know Luis Scola has the record for total points.
Oh, I'm sure. Is Luis playing this year? Probably, honestly, he probably is playing. He's got nothing else to do at a 40-year-old.
But I think to your point, I think that's where this is potentially an opportunity lost to create that legacy.
Well, someone has to step up and actually do it.
Yeah,
and no one has done it yet. Because like even when Steve Nash played like 2000 in Sydney Olympics, like. Nobody remembers any moments from that. I think Canada finished like 7 out of 12. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just not as memorable as like Sabonis with, you know, Lithuania and, you know, I guess at the time was USSR. I'm not really sure, but.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when you look at all the guys that have dropped out for Team USA, I genuinely believe that if all the big Canadian names had shown up, they would have had a shot at meddling, a shot at the gold as well.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a lost opportunity to create that legacy,
yep.
Which, you know, now it's just going to be a big what if.
Yeah, definitely. As for the players themselves, so I don't want to rule them out just yet because I do think that they have some potential. I think based on the talent on the roster, I mean, the only NBA guy that's there for sure right now is Ken Birch. Corey Joseph is supposed to join them. There still seems to be some question whether or not he's going to finally get on a plane and go to China and adjust to the time difference and things like that. You seem a little more skeptical. I'm going to maybe point to Nick Nurse's history there and say maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But, like, okay, at maximum two Canadian players. And one is Corey Joseph, who's a bench guy.
Yep.
Solid player, but a bench guy. And Ken Birch, who's, again, a solid player, but a bench guy.
Yeah.
So the talent is not necessarily great, but from what we've seen in the exhibition series where they played two games against Nigeria, they split those. Two games against Australia, they split those. The one game they won, they looked great. They beat them by 20 points in Australia. Very impressive, considering the fact that Australia later went on to beat the USA. And then Canada played two games against New Zealand, beat them both times. First game, not even close. They beat them like 40. Second game, needed overtime, but they still won. And then they lost to Team USA in what I would describe as sort of disheartening was the performance because they got a little bit nervous. You could tell that a lot of players were like, oh my God, how am I going to get a shot off against an actual athlete?
I think that was the big thing, right? Like right off the bat, you could see USA can just switch and use their athleticism so effectively unlike any other team. And all of a sudden Canada was like, oh, we haven't gone up against anything like this before.
I mean, realistically, it's like guys like you need guys like Kevin Pangos to do really well. And for people who know who Kevin Pangos is, he's kind of like 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really jump much. Pretty decent ball handler. Can shoot a little bit. Actually, he's not pretty crafty in terms of finishing and also mid range. But like, it's hard for him to get a shot off.
Yeah.
And you saw in that game against the USA. I mean, Pangos was kind of invisible. And the times that where he was trying to force offense, he was just like jacking up crazy pull-up shots just in hopes of not getting a shot block and getting a shot off. So that's what we're kind of dealing with. But, you know, I still come back to this idea that, like, look, obviously USA is the top team in the tournament, even with this reduced shell of what they're putting out there right now. But I still think Canada can be competitive. I look at the team and, you know, based on the talent, I think they're already overperforming the talent. At least that's what I saw in preseason.
I agree with that, for sure. And I think that's part of why we want to see that game against Australia, that big game that's going to sort of dictate how the rest of their tournament goes. And, you know, I still think winning a medal is going to be a little bit beyond them. But in terms of those classification rounds, you know, I think they have an outside slim chance at making the quarters. And I think once you get to those knockout rounds, you know, anything can happen on the day. And that's kind of been how Canada's performances have gone, right? When the three's falling, they look great. When it's not, you know, they look like anyone can beat them. Yeah. So that variance with the three-point shot, it basically takes them to their ceiling when they're making it consistently enough. And so, again, when they are making it, they can be competitive. They can potentially pull off an upset against Australia, pull off an upset against Lithuania, and then, you know, go into the further rounds.
Yeah, and I think depending on the matchup, they can kind of win the athleticism battle against a lot of teams. I think against Australia, they were smaller and definitely less physical, but, like, in terms of their quickness and sort of the burst, and, like, people are getting by their man and getting decent looks. And if you can do that, like, if you can have that base level of physicality, that is a huge advantage. And I think Canada does have above average athleticism, you know, as compared to sort of the rest of the tournament. I think in those games where they can be athletic, I think that's where they can really excel, because a lot of the game that they play is the same style that, I mean, basically the way I would describe how they play offense is like 2018 Raptors bench mob. Hmm. Of like a lot of ball movement, a lot of side-to-side action, classic Nick Nurse offense, yeah. Two point guards on the floor, guy diving to the rim, and yeah. A couple of guys in between that can make shots or sort of, you know, just make plays in between. Pretty good passing. I like the style and the pace and the shots that they get, mostly at the rim and also three-point shots. So they're doing well. But it just becomes a matter of, I think, it comes back to talent in a sense, because, like, you know, it's one thing to sort of run a system-based offense, and against a lot of teams you can do it. But when teams like the USA can switch, yeah. And I think to a lesser degree, Nigeria was able to do the same thing in their two exhibition games in Toronto and Winnipeg. That's where shot creation becomes a real issue. And I think that's where you miss a guy like, you know, Andrew Wiggins, where you miss Jamal Murray, you miss Shea, you know, you even miss Kelly Olynyk, because he can also kind of create a little yep. bit. Like, nobody's creating on this team. Like, when USA started switching against Canada, like, Canada's offense died entirely.
You had Kyle Wiltshire taking, you know, step backs off the dribble.
Yeah, that's the only reason they didn't lose by 30, was because yeah. Wiltshire started making some ridiculous shots.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. This is what Nick Nurse talked about right at training camp, right? We're going to need the system to create a lot of our offense, because we don't necessarily have a go-to scorer. We don't have that number one scoring options per se. So, you know, again, when you talk about the side-to-side action, when you talk about Pangos up top and potentially Corey Joseph, the main reason they're running those dribble handoffs is because they're trying to use those screens to create some kind of separation, some kind of runway, because they can't really do it off the bounce.
Yeah.
And
maybe Corey can do a little bit of that off the bounce, but yeah. It's Corey Joseph.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not going to score 30.
Exactly. So, again, you know, the offense is the thing that's going to vary from game to game. Mm-hmm. But we know, I think we've seen enough to know that the defense can be consistently good
right.
Throughout the tournament for as long as they remain in it.
Yeah. And I think this is where Nick Nurse doesn't get enough credit, in terms of just, like, obviously offensively he's sort of proven what he can do. But I think defensively, like, he's really creative. Like, literally this man's sick, man. He pulled out a box of one in the last possession before halftime against Nigeria, a box of one against Ben Uzo. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of like just shameful behavior almost, but also just kind of like a flex to be like, hey, this is what I got in my back pocket. And, you know, we're seeing the same stuff that we saw him do with the Raptors, right? Like 2-3 zone switching, you know, just man to man, maybe even, like, I don't know. Nick Nurse tries some stuff is what I'm trying to say. And I think what he has right now is a lot of buy-in from the guys. But, like, I think there's also, you know, similar to the point of the offensive talent, there's also a limit to the defensive talent of this team, because you would never just, like, intentionally put together a roster like this where you have basically, what, 6 point guards?
Like, you got, so if Corey Joseph is there,
yeah,
Corey Joseph,
yeah,
you've got Kevin Pangos, you've got Phil Scrub,
mm-hmm.
effectively a point guard, you've got Andrew Nembhard, you've got Keza Kajami-Keen.
Yeah.
You've got Brady Heslop.
Yeah.
That's your 6?
And, like, I don't even know. Does Dwayne Otis make the team? He's not really a point guard.
He hasn't really featured at all, so.
Yeah. But that's still 6 guys.
Yeah.
Like, Heslop is more of a shooting guard, but yeah. He's also going to handle the ball a lot.
Yeah.
That's 6 guys, right? But, like, that's 6 guys who, with the exception of Nembhard. Oh, and Aaron Best as well. So that really is 7.
Yeah.
Bess is kind of played as an off guard and sort of like almost as a three sometimes because he's actually one of the more athletic guys. But
And that's the thing. He can defend those bigger positions pretty well.
But, I mean, at a certain point, when you have more than half your roster are guards.
That's the thing, tough. Right? You've got all these guards. And you've got you don't really have bigs and you don't really have wing depth either because it's just, you know, you've got Melvin Ejim and Thomas Scrub are going to be there. That's why you really need, and I think this makes the point, you really need O'Shea Brissett to be healthy and to make this roster.
And not even because he's necessarily that well-rounded of a player right now. It's just like you need his hustle, his athleticism, his energy.
He gives them an element that they need.
Rebounding.
That they don't get from anyone else.
Yeah. And that's an issue, too, because, again...
Well, I guess Ejim gives, a more polished version of it.
Right. But you want, a full 40 minutes of it. And you can't expect Melvin to, be great every single night. He's just not really that great of a player, on that level, at least. But... And that's where, it's really tough, because if you look at the front court, too, their options in the center are, Ken Birch, who's solid.
Mm-hmm.
He's solid, rim-running, shot-blocking big. But, not necessarily an exceptional player. And then after that, they had to bring in a guy in Owen Klassen, who was not initially named to camp, but after Boucher pulled out and Owen got hurt. You brought in Klassen, and okay, it's not fair to judge a player against the USA because Klassen has actually played pretty decently against other teams in the tournament. However, against the USA, the man had 5 fouls in 6 minutes and shot 1 of 4 from the field and very much reminded me of how I play basketball. I don't know.
You got to get yourself on the box score. You don't want Sam Mitchell coming after you with a 0-0-0-0-0. You know what I mean?
I'm waiting for Nick Nurse to have a great speech. I don't want him to be Sam Mitchell. I think he's a much better coach than Sam. But as an orator, I don't know.
What's Nick Nurse's big line so far? Is it just quoting Kawhi? When he's
It wasn't even him that wrote Let It Rip, right?
No, it was Adrian Griffin, I think.
Yeah.
And... So, yeah, he keeps giving us the info.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're going to need Nick to...
Experimenting. That's Nick Nurse's term.
Yeah.
Always experimenting. You lose? Well, I was experimenting. You win? Well, that's because I was experimenting.
Yeah.
It's a great phrase. But in any case, I think, the talent in the front court is a little bit... they're really thin. So I think it's going to... And they're pretty small guards. So, I just think defensively, the talent might not necessarily be there, but... I mean, overall, I think, honestly, I know that's how ridiculous this sounds, but the one thing that does make me optimistic about this team is the fact that they're led by Nick. I think Nick has done a really good job with them so far, and I'm pretty confident that Nick is a guy who can sort of just, not turn shit into gold, because I don't want to call this team shit and disrespect them by any means, but I just mean, he can get the most out of an otherwise situation where you might look at it as more bleak.
Yeah.
And that's just what Nick Nurse has done for his entire career. So I'm pretty happy for Canada that they were able to land him for the job.
Yeah, I think effectively this roster has to swing for the fences every game.
Yep.
What does
that look like?
If shoot a lot of threes and give a lot of different looks defensively. Because again, as you pointed out, in terms of the physical prototypes that they have on their roster, if you just try to play one way, teams like Australia, Lithuania, they'll tear you apart. So I think sort of mixing and matching over the course of the 40 minutes is going to be critical, and I think just trying to maximize what he can get out of every guy at every position is something that I think he's become renowned for,
mm-hmm.
if you can do that in one season, and that's pretty much going to dictate how Canada fares at this tournament.
Yeah, I mean that's basically about it. And we kind of skirted around this earlier, but they got to win that first game against Australia because if they're going to make it out of the group stage, so they're in a pretty tough group in the sense that there's three teams that I think in another group Canada would probably advance out of the first group stage.
Yeah.
But this one is a little bit tough because Lithuania is there. Lithuania is a really good team. And I think just in terms of matchups, they got seven-footers everywhere. It's a very tall country.
Their starting front court is going to be JV and Sabonis.
Yeah.
That's going to be a handful to deal with.
Yeah. And the Canada's going to be throwing out Thomas Grubb and Ken Birch.
Yep.
So that's really tough. I just think matchup-wise, that one's going to be almost just physically just too hard to deal with. But then you got Australia, who, like, beat Team USA. They got to beat one of those two teams. And I think you and I both agree that Australia is probably their best bet to do it. But that's the first game of the tournament.
Yeah.
They got to win that because they got to pull up an upset against one of these two teams in order to advance past the group stage. And that's assuming the fact that they just take care of business against Senegal, which I'm not totally sure this team will always take care of business.
Yeah, there's no guarantee there.
Yeah. So there's that. And then once again, to the next round, it's not as bad. So basically the top two teams from their group will play the top two teams from another group. And, France is probably going to win the other group that they're going to match up with. But mm-hmm. it's not really sure who the other guy's going to be. It's probably going to be like Dominican Republic or something. And
yeah, it's most likely going to be either Dominican Republic or Germany.
Yeah.
So,
and Germany's got some decent guys. I think Schroeder's playing.
Yeah. I mean,
Theis.
So, I mean, realistically, you got to make it out of the group stage to make the real group stage.
Yep.
Right? So Canada wins, say they win 2 out of 3, right? They pull off the upset against Australia and they take care of business against Senegal. Then, say they advance with Lithuania, who will have 2 wins themselves. You know, again, now you get into a difficult situation with France and potentially Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. where now you're trying to be the top two in that. So, yeah. Outside shot at the quarters, but it all starts with that game 1 against Australia.
Yeah. And if they make it to the quarters, I'm beyond thrilled.
Oh, that would be an incredible achievement. I think just making out of this first group stage would be a notable achievement.
Right.
Because Australia is very, very good.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. That's your pretty depressing preview of Canada basketball. I mean, it's unfortunate that they're in this situation. I think they should be in a better situation, but these are the guys that I got. We got to wake up at 3:30 a.m.
Yep.
on a long weekend to cover this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's not great. The whole tournament itself, they could have probably, maybe scheduled it a bit differently. I mean, it's tough because they're in China, so it's like 12 hours of time difference, but I don't know. It's not ideal. It's not ideal, for sure. But for the second half of the podcast, we're going to talk more Raptors. So I asked for Twitter questions because it is dead. It is dead out there. There's no Raptors news. Jeremy Lin signed with Beijing. Pascal is back in the U.S. working with Rico Hines. I don't know. There are some brief glimpses of OG working out with David Nurse, who I think is cousin of Nick Nurse, who is a shooting coach.
Mm-hmm.
There is no actual Raptor news out there. So let's take some Twitter questions. The first one comes from Assad, who says, why won't you bring on Assad to slander all 29 teams? It's a good point.
I mean, yeah, why not?
If Kawhi had re-signed, every podcast in the summer would have been a slander pod.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean,
now I feel somewhat humbled.
It's kind of crazy that the Bucks may have got a little worse, but they're still the hands down the best team in the East now.
Wild.
And yeah, Philly's going to be Philly.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Do you see Chris Middleton in that Team USA game against Canada? 0 of 8 from the field. 3 turnovers. 0 points.
Chris Middleton is who we thought he was.
I mean, Chris Middleton is averaging, in the preseason for USA, 4 points a game.
I mean,
4 points a game. This is not a team that has so much talent. Like, Harrison Barnes plays over him. Like, Jason Tatum plays over him.
It's a pretty sad situation.
It's not ideal, man. Derek White kind of gets some minutes. I mean, 4 points. Anyway, it's too bad, the slander pod. But we'll have plenty of opportunities next season.
It's funny. We talk about, guys being willing to step outside their comfort zone and take on a little more and maybe be more and learn and figure more out about themselves. And I think you know, while Middleton is a very respectable player, all-star last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, you almost kind of want to see him have that sort of swag about him where it's like, I can be more, I can yeah. be more. You know,
he does
mean?
Have very negative swag.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Last name Middleton, I'm not expecting too much.
Oh, man. There we go. there's some Bucks slander for you. Next one from my guy, Sasha. Norm Powell said to turn up all summer. So are you turning up all summer? You're turning up all summer.
I mean, yeah. Raps won the championship.
Yep.
Went to Wimbledon.
Yep.
Went to the Cricket World Cup.
Yep.
Came back here. Won a soccer chip.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Won
just
a chip.
Did,
yeah.
Just did that this last weekend. in a few weeks, I'll head to Calgary. My cousin's been bugging me for a minute. Like, he's been in Calgary for years, and he's like, yo, yeah. you gotta come.
Okay.
And he plans on moving in the next month or two, so I was like, man, I better go now before it's too late. So, yeah, you can get that done this summer, too. And then before you know it, we'll be back at Media Day.
Yep. September 28th, baby. Can't wait for all that content to roll in, because right now I'm dying.
Media Day without Kawhi and Danny. It's going to be...
Yeah. There ain't no... There's it's no, be no different. Laughing. No, not knowing where Doug Smith is sitting at.
Yo, if Masai walks, comes in with Stanley Johnson and Rondale Jefferson.
The same format. Masai sitting in the middle. And then Masai gives a speech. Look.
The narrative is over.
The narrative is over. Players want to sign in Toronto. I brought Stanley and Rondale Hollis Jefferson here. Wow. Yeah. That's... Yeah, I mean, in terms of turning up all summer, I mean, let's be real. Liverpool won the Champions League, you know, six times.
Yep.
The Raptors won the title. Smoked a cigar in Oakland. Went on vacation to Portland. Going to go take a quick weekend, long weekend type of thing in Halifax off the flight deal. Score FC won. Finally won a title for the first time in a very, very long time.
There you go.
Shout out Gianluca for the game-winning pen. And, I mean, it's been a great summer, man. I mean, you know.
One thing I want to add. Summer. Second half of my vacay, when I went to Edinburgh,
mm-hmm.
I was wearing the Gotham shirt, and I went into this bar, and the dude who was working at the bar all of a sudden just sends me a shot, and he's like, I used to live in Toronto.
Oh, shit.
And I watched the entire Raptors run. I love the Raptors.
Wow.
Global team, baby. And then he was telling me, I mean, I didn't end up finding it, mm-hmm. but he was like, there's some train station where someone graffitied We the North.
Oh, nice, nice.
And I was like, man, I wish I could find it. But
wow.
I didn't really know the area he was talking about, so I was like, all right, I'll take your word for it. But global team, baby.
Yo, a true global team. You know, you got Jeremy Lin from Taiwan, and you got... Bobby Webster from Hawaii. Honestly, when the championship summer was really the highlight, more than anything else, was watching Masai on there for an hour and just talk.
That was amazing.
But just like sort of soak in the moment. Yeah. I think as he kept talking, like he builds energy. He's very much a person that, I mean, he's bringing energy regardless, but like he really builds an energy. And when he started saying shit like, yo, what, like, United or Liverpool, we're the new Reds. And I was like, oh, my God. All right. And then he, like, the trophy gets brought
and then
in the last
Larry
5 seconds.
Showed up.
The 5 minutes, and then he's just sitting there with the trophy. And the woman asks him, like, you know, like, hey, I don't know, but this might be the first time the trophy goes to Africa. And he's like, you know what, that's a great question. And he talked about how proud he was to sort of bring it home to the continent and just, yeah. you know. You know, as an example of what he, you know, and other people like Pascal and Serge have accomplished, I guess OG as well, what he called Giannis Nigerian, which, yep. you know, I don't think he was trying to invalidate the fact that he's Greek, but like, you know, it's just a reminder he's both.
Exactly. And, you know, and that he's coming for him in 2021.
Yeah. Listen, when, he turns, yeah, it's coming, baby. It's coming. Masai, please perfect the recipes. So, yeah, it's been a great summer. I'm kind of waiting for Media Day as well, just from a content perspective. But a lot of good things have happened this summer. Next one from Harry. Can OG jump into the most improved conversations if he comes into the season with a much improved handle and footwork? My question is, how do you improve footwork? Like, do you play DDR for hours? Like, I'm just saying, like, how do you improve footwork? I'm curious. I would like to improve my footwork.
I think he's just got to look at working on a couple of individual moves.
Okay.
Because right? I think realistically, when you look at him, you know, the ball swings to him, and then if he's open, he can get the shot up. But if someone closes out hard on him, he can take those couple dribbles and finish. But when guys are able to maintain good position, that's when, you know, he sort of just gets it back to the point guard or whoever. And he's sort of in role player mode, right? And so if the Raptors are going to get to their ceiling and he's going to take another step, I think that's the key for him. Having those a couple of go-to moves where the defense is set that he can count on to score consistently, seeking out opportunities when he's got a smaller guy on him. And, you know, we talk about footwork. Maybe that's what it is. Learning a couple moves in the post. Get a smaller guy on you. You know, we know how strong he is. And just work on a couple of post moves. I mean, I know everyone wants to talk about how the post and the mid-range is dead, but you can still be effective in making the defense work. And even if it's not a shot for you, the attention you command can create opportunities for others. So, you know, if you show that you can score from there a little bit, then, you know, it's all about commanding that respect. It's all about creating some level of gravity, right? Mm. And I think that's the next step for him.
Yeah. I think most improved is probably a little too aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's just tough. I don't think we can expect everyone to be most improved just because Pascal did it. But, I mean, I think it's really just refining the skills that he already has.
It's crazy how the belief has changed in the city, man.
Oh, listen, championship mentality.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm like, yo, Stanley was a lottery pick. You know, I talk to myself about that all the time. I'm like, maybe he does this, maybe he does that. Matt Thomas is going to shoot 99%, you know, like.
Yeah.
I can't really do it with campaign. I'm sorry. I can't get there with campaign.
Matt's going to shoot 99%.
Yeah.
In the G League.
Yeah. Definitely. Only in the G League. But yeah, I think OG just needs to refine, honestly, what he does well, establish that base of like, I'm a 3-and-D guy. And then once you have that skill set locked down, like just expand the game, you mm-hmm. know. But you have to have something like to stand on. I think one of the issues with a guy like Stanley was sort of like it was difficult for the Pistons to get him to sort of excel and sort of take to a role. And I think when you try to develop everything at once, you kind of have a lot of nothing. And I want OG to sort of focus a lot on, you know, making open threes, having the gravity, as you mentioned, and like defending. And if you can do all that, you'll get minutes, and then you can slowly expand and add more things. But I think fundamentally, well, things like footwork and handle, like there's only so much you can improve some of those things. You know what I mean? Can't expect him to come in and like all of a sudden he's dribbling like Kyrie Irving. Like it's just.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, right? Like, I think a more realistic version of development is probably what DeMar DeRozan did season after season, and just picking an aspect of his game and growing in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Like what Pascal did is kind of unheard of. What he did over the summer and what he did over the course of the 2018-19 season is an exception to the rule. So I don't think it's fair on OG or any of the other guys who have been in complementary roles to suddenly expect them to just take that leap because they're with the Raptors organization.
Mm. Next one from either Evie or Ivy. I never really asked. But can we explain Cactus Club? So it seems like Cactus Club is
Evie?
A team, maybe?
I think so.
All right. Well, apologize for that. But apologies for that. But I mean, so Kawhi loves Cactus Club. I think this is probably the origin of the question. He was spotted twice at Cactus Club, once during the free agency process, and then after came back to Toronto, and then I think he went to the one at like Sherway.
Yeah.
Which, shout out Etobicoke one time. Shout out Sherway Mall, the gem of Etobicoke. Undoubtedly, I think. There's not even that much competition. Either that one or the Eastside Mario's across the street, which is not great. But in any case, Cactus Club, what's the appeal? Have you been? Do you like it?
So that's the thing. I can't even comment because I haven't been yet.
Yeah, me neither. I wouldn't go to Cactus Club. There's a lot of good restaurants in Toronto.
There are a lot of good restaurants in Toronto. And then obviously I spent a couple of days at least one day a week in Mississauga, because I go there for soccer, and a lot of good places to eat there too, man. There's nothing better than Haka in Mississauga, so.
Yeah. So, can't, I mean.
Yeah, I got nothing on Cactus Club.
I'm looking at pictures right now. It looks kind of fancy. Like, have you been inside 11?
Yes.
It's kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know what?
But a lot of players go there, right? Like, I even hear, yeah, like, a lot of, like, the visiting baseball players go to Cactus Club, too.
Word. Maybe it's just a thing. I think it's sort of like the NBA and professional sports in general is a fraternity. And, like, once you sort of crack that, like, yeah, then people know to go to that place. But before that, it's not established.
It sounds like an Alex column in the making.
Yeah, maybe. Because you know what it is? I saw a video from, I think, Eater a couple years ago where it was sort of tackling why NBA players love Cheesecake Factory so much.
Huh.
And a lot of it was just like they had different reasons, but it was like the portion sizes are big. It's consistent from place to place. And, you know they can go there for this, this, and this. And if you're, you know, traveling all the time and you're not actually in a lot of, you're not set in the city to sort of go out and explore and sort of, you know, potentially have, you know, misfirings and stuff like that. You want something consistent, and maybe that's the same appeal for Cactus Club. I don't know. I hope it's better than Cheesecake Factory, at least, because Cheesecake is not that good. But
nope. Not worth the lines anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Next question. Keyshawn, get me on the pod one time. You were on the pod, man. You were on the pod, but I think...
He was on the All-Star pod, wasn't he?
He was on the All-Star Raptors Championship Hangout, which I had like 14 people on. If you haven't listened, go back. If you have 3 hours, go back and listen to it.
Relive the good times.
I think yeah, Keyshawn should definitely come on, you know, at some point, just because like this man's a clout demon. Mm-hmm. If not only just talk Raptors and photography and everything we saw in the finals, stuff like that, just to talk about, you know, everything that he's in right now, because, you know, you never know where Keyshawn's gonna pop up next. The hottest 22-year-old in the city right now, you know, he's teaching courses, he's doing workshops, he's
doing giveaways,
OVO Fest, you know what I mean? Keyshawn, really out here. The breakout star of the championship run, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Next one from Artie. Can we talk about how hot everyone looked at Patrick Patterson's wedding? So, Norm Powell was there. DeLon was there. Kyle was there. Patrick Patterson was there. Terrence Ross was there. Paul George was there. And the wedding was in Toronto, because I think Patrick Patterson married someone in Toronto.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, like, I think they all look great. They all look great, man. It's kind of nice because there's a couple of other pictures. I don't want to say at what club, but there are pictures of like the same group of people minus Kyle Lowry at, you know, various clubs in Toronto while they were all teammates. And like to see that, which was like 3-4 years ago, to where it is now, it's just nice to see them all grown up, which is kind of what Kyle and DeMar talked about in the comments, was just like, you know what, you know, we raised these guys. You know, we were their vets, and you know, they've grown up. And oh, Norm Powell was also there as well.
I like Kyle's bow tie game.
Kyle's bow tie game, yeah,
it works.
Yeah, DeLon wearing sneakers, I think, was a choice that he made for himself.
Yeah, especially when you look at everyone else's shoe game.
Mm-hmm. His like kind of stand up.
Kyle's shoes, Norm's rocking some hot shoes.
I love how bow-legged Norm's legs look in that photo. Yeah, just like, really accentuates the fact that the man's working with two brackets.
I was trying to look at the shoes, but I was like, wait, what's going on with these legs? Terrence is looking good, too.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Terrence. I think he's
I think the problem for me when I look at DeLon is every time I look at him in a suit now,
yeah,
I just picture that ridiculously oversized suit from the Juicy Fruit commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I see now.
Wow.
And it's like, I just can't. I think DeLon's going to have to change it up. He's going to have to do something to undo that image.
He's got to do something new in Dallas. Every time I look at DeLon, he always looks like 12 to me. I don't know. He just looks perpetually young, even though he's like, I think, older than me. But he just looks mad young for some reason. But yeah, happy for Patrick Patterson. Congratulations on the wedding. You know, congratulations to Toronto women, undefeated. But, you know, it is what it is. Next question from Hayden. Could you see the Raptors going after one of the 2020 restricted free agents by offering them a big contract or big offer sheet Jaylen Brown, for example.
2020?
So the Raptors have tons of cap room if they choose to.
Yeah.
They got like $80-something million expiring at once.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than enough to offer somebody the max. But
how do you feel about Jaylen Brown?
He's decent.
Yeah.
He's fine. He's like what we hope OG will be.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. Depends on how much you believe in OG. I don't think Jaylen Brown's like a future star in the making. I don't necessarily see it. I think it's kind of the same issues with OG. I don't think Jaylen moves around much more fluidly than OG, but I don't think his handle's very good. And I'm not really sure if the shot is good enough. He really does need to develop a couple more things. Maybe he can get there, maybe he can't. But at least right now, I don't like Jaylen Brown that much as a player. Pretty good defender, though. Great size, really good athlete. But I don't know. He's still a little Jeff Greenish for me. Like, I think he plays with more intensity than Jeff Green, but he does have a lot of similarities in terms of the inconsistency and stuff. So, I don't know. I probably wouldn't offer Jaylen Brown a max contract, just like I probably wouldn't offer Buddy Hield a max contract either, who I think Buddy is like 27 years old now.
Right.
After he basically was like, oh, by the way, I'm older than y'all thought I was. I just checked with my mom, and she's like, yeah, you're actually 27. So, I don't know. It's not a great class.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'd rather not spend that money for the sake of spending it. You know what I mean? I don't feel great about any of those guys. Caris LeVert got his extension.
That was surprising. So, it came in really low. But
good for him, man. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. It's like 17 per.
Yeah.
Which nowadays is like...
I think that's pretty fair.
I guess. I guess he won't have as many touches with Kyrie and KD around. But yeah, that's a really nice trade chip. Like, I would try to trade for Caris LeVert, for example.
Mm.
Right? Provided that he's healthy. Because he'd be nice. He'd actually be really nice with the way the Raptors play.
That's true. That is true.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really like any of the restricted free agents that much. Obviously, Pascal, I love. And, you know, other guys have been locked up. Like, Ben Simmons is, you know, locked up. Jamal Murray's locked up. Caris LeVert's locked up. You know?
Jamal, man, you're all locked up. You don't have to worry about a contract. You could have just played.
You could have played, man. You could have played. But it's okay. You had an ankle injury. Maybe. next one from Eric. What do you expect from Lowry next season? I think we talked about this a couple of times, so why don't we just get your thoughts.
Lowry next season, I expect him to be more of... I expect to see the guy that we saw without Kawhi more often. I don't think we'll see that for, you know, 70 plus games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's reasonable to think that he can do that, you know, say maybe 40, 50 games.
Yeah.
And then we see the Kyle that kind of defers for another 25, 30, depending on how many games he plays next season. Because at the end of the day, you know, the one thing with Kyle is he is very aware of, you know, bonus situations and contract situations.
Yep.
He
stays on top.
Yeah. You know, there was that 40.
He make a great account after this.
There was that 40-point game that he had in Minnesota, you know, when he was trying to make that all-star push.
Right.
There was him getting to, you know, what was it, 65 games to get that bonus.
Last season, baby.
Yeah. And then didn't play after that. What was it? There was a game that he skipped after that, and it was pretty hilarious.
I think he got to 65, and then he like skipped out on a Minnesota game. Yeah. Or maybe he played the Minnesota game and to get to 65. I'm not really sure.
Right. Yeah,
in any
case,
that Minnesota game was hilarious because I think Chris Boucher had like a Solomon Alibi moment.
Yeah.
Where he had like 13 points and like 19 rebounds.
Yeah.
Shout out one time, Solomon Alibi.
So, yeah, I think Kyle Lowry is going to be very aware that it's a contract year for him, that there's potentially a significant 2-3 year deal to be had, and that he needs to show that he's capable of it. And let's face it, NBA champion is a pretty significant title to add to your resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's got that clout as well. So, I expect a very good season for Kyle. And you know, I think the hope that you carry into each season with Kyle is that he doesn't hurt himself too much.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've said about Kyle in this pod a couple times, so I'm just going to skip ahead to the other comments. Someone wanted me to just slander Chris Middleton for 10 minutes, as it happened. That already happened organically. Exactly. I didn't even know this question was coming. It just happened, man. A full Bucks slander podcast. I mean, you know, when we play the Bucks eventually, we'll do it. Right now, it's kind of weird to just randomly fire shots at August, 27th today? 28th?
Today is 27th.
27th, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit strange. Yeah. Well, there'll be a time and place for it.
By the way, we are in peak summer content mode right now.
You got breaking news?
Got a notification from The Athletic.
Whoa.
The Golden State Warriors
uh-huh.
are going to stick with 95.7 radio and what? Not go back to KMBR. That's a notification that I legit just received from The Athletic.
What kind of reporting is that? No, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm shutting off that alert. I'm good. All right. What else? Alexis asks, the highlights of the travels of the Larry O'Brien Trophy. We've actually done that podcast. Go back and listen to that. Who took it where, and do Danny and Kawhi get a turn with it even though they're gone? I think Danny and Kawhi should get a turn with it. They were huge parts of the trophy. So
Danny like the first to take it?
I think so.
He took it to
New York for like the Puma thing. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I think Kawhi will get a turn with it, too. I don't know. What do you think Kawhi's going to do with the trophy once he gets it?
I feel like...
Take it to Wingstop?
I feel like Kawhi would probably just, like, asked for, you know, one disposable camera shot and is like, all right, I'm good.
He should ask Keyshawn specifically to take a photo.
I'll see Larry O'B next year.
Yeah. Wow. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get this back. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'll just hold it for me right now. Will Danny Green ever leave Toronto? I don't think so. Apparently, he was in Brampton with Russell Peters recently.
He's going to play one game next season for the Lakers in Toronto.
Just in Toronto. Danny will be like, wow, you guys are about 500
again. Actually, you know what? He might make the trip to New York, too.
Wow, yeah, you're right. Will Serge headline a campaign to save Rosan? Why you got to save Rosan? Is Rosan in trouble?
There was a news report that came out today that it's going to be replaced by 13 stories.
What?
Yeah.
Replaced by what?
My bad.
Replaced by what?
You guys should have seen Will's face I was breaking the news.
What the?
Yeah, let me get
Wow, because I was going to say, because I had... Wow, okay, this is legitimately shocking. holy crap.
Chinatown staple roll sign could be replaced by a 13-story building.
Yo, what the... No. Oh, no. Gentrification in Toronto's gone too far,
Plans have been
man.
Submitted to the city and are currently under review for a 13-story mixed-use building designed by Montgomery Sisam? The project spans two main buildings and hopes to rezone the stretch of Spadina between Darcy and Baldwin.
Wow. I mean, if we're going to keep it real for a second, like, gentrification was always coming from Chinatown. It's in too valuable of a place for money to not necessarily to be kept out. But, like, that would be a shame. That would be a shame. I really, really do love Chinatown. I really do love
Ding Dong Pastries there. And Cafe also faces closure.
Yeah, whatever. The other one that's, I think, I don't know, something Rama, the one that's, like, south of Dundas is actually a little bit better, even though it's pricier, but I prefer that one.
Swato?
Swato? No. There's like other pastries. Swato? I've never actually been. People seem to really like it. I don't know.
I've been told it's better.
It's better than Rosan?
Like, so in what people have told me is obviously dim sum, Rosan is number one.
I don't know why you would go to Rosan without dim sum.
For the actual food, like dishes wise, that, you know.
Swato is better?
Yeah.
Wow. So we can't give you Cactus Club, but it gives you an image of what we're eating. We're going to Rosan. I mean, yo, this is crazy. Last week, I was on the street because I was going to the LCBO in Chinatown.
Kawhi closed out Oracle, and you're going to close out Rosan.
No, man. Come on. Yo, Serge, please. Serge. Yo, step in, man. Serge, please. And I was talking to because one of the guys, I recognize him as one of the servers at Rosan. And I think he's actually in the video with Serge. But I walked up to him, and I was
asking him on the pod.
Maybe I should. I don't know. But I was like, hey, you know, like we might want to do like a video project here, you know, at some point, you know, like, you know, what's sort of like the shooting and like the, I don't know, do I need licenses and stuff like that? And like, he's like, oh, you know, so we chopped it up and talked it a little bit and just sort of about logistics. And I'm like, I was like, hey, you know, Serge. And he's like, yeah, of course. And I was like, how much does Serge come to Rosan? He's like, honestly, like probably twice a month. And I was like, yo, that's wild. He's going to Rosan more than I'm going to any Chinese restaurant ever. So anyway, Serge, please say Rosan. And wow, that is really, really sad that's happening to Chinatown. But
I feel bad that Toronto, I had to break it to you live on the pod, man.
This is devastating. Yeah. This is devastating. What's the point of asking? What's the point of my answering more questions? You know what I mean? But anyway, I think with how sad that last question was, I think we should just end the pod there because, you know, this is what summer content is in terms of Raptors. It's just not that much else going on. Vivek, thanks for coming on to preview Canada basketball. We're getting ushered out of the room right now. Yeah, so, yep.
Of course. As always, man.
Follow everything on Yahoo Sports Canada.
Yep.
And we'll be back next week, and we'll have tons of coverage of Canada basketball. So keep it locked. Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.